Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. For those of you who are putting yourself between a vulnerable loved one with chronic impairments and even worse disaster. You're staying up late at night. You're doing laundry. You're back and forth to the pharmacy. Back and forth to the doctor's office. Back and forth to the hospital. Back and forth to the rehab center. You are dressing wounds that you feel terribly unsuited to do. They didn't teach me all that kind of stuff in music school. I called up my piano professor one time and I said, you know, you left a lot of things out in my education. You didn't teach me about wound care and you didn't teach me how to give an injection. You taught me a lot about chords and music and theory, but he laughed. But that's life. That's life for us as caregivers. We learn on the job. And sometimes we just have to take a deep breath and gulp a little bit and do things that we feel horrifically unsuited to do. Education for those with special needs, children with special needs. Dealing with somebody with dementia. Dealing with somebody with mental illness. I've got a friend of mine right now dealing with this with a daughter who is struggling mightily with addiction and mental illness to the point where law enforcement has been involved now, and it's pretty serious. And the heartache that's there is overpowering. How many families are in this situation? How do you speak to this? How do you offer help, support, encouragement, and guidance to those caregivers who are dealing with this? That's what this program is all about. These are things that I've learned over a lifetime. I had to forage for all the things that I've learned. Nobody really knew what to say to me. Still don't, oftentimes. But if you don't know what to say to a family caregiver, that's okay. I do. All I ask is that you give me just a few moments of your time, and I'll point you to safety. This is personal to me because I keep in my mind that young man at 22 years old who fell in love with a woman with a broken body and had no clue on what to do and what was going to happen. And so I keep that picture of myself firmly right in front of me at all times. Things that I want to say to that young man. Son, here's what's coming down the pike. Here's how we're going to prepare you. Here's how we're going to help you get back up when you fail, because you will. And here's how we're going to equip you to endure. One of the verses that stays foremost in my mind is in Luke 22:31. When Jesus looks at Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And of course, he's foretelling what Peter was going to go through his denial. I want to be very careful that I do not wrongfully apply scripture, because I think that's been done so flagrantly in our culture. But I think I could support scripturally that this verse has implications even to me. I take it personally. I take this verse very personally. Peter, Satan has asked for permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when you come through this, strengthen your brethren. I love this verse for several reasons. One of them is that I belong to Christ. Satan has to ask for permission. I love that he is subordinate to God in this, that I am not just thrown like out to the wolves here, that he has to ask for permission, and that I have a high priest who prays for me. Book of Hebrews says this. Jesus is our high priest. He prays for us. The book of Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus prayed for Peter. So that when he came through this, and by the way, the effective fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. There is no one other righteous but Christ. Any righteousness we have is because of Christ. So his effective fervent prayers availeth much. So he's telling Peter, he said, look, I'm praying for you. And when you come through this, strengthen your brethren. Not if you come through this, when? And then he has a responsibility. Well, let me be frank with you, or Sammy, or Dean, or any of the other Rat Pack. Oh, I'm just kidding. I understand a portion of what it means to be sifted. I will never compare myself to the Apostle Peter in that regards, but I do understand that concept better than I certainly used to, and probably better than many. But I also have come to understand that I have a Savior who prays for me. And I've also come to better understand the importance of what it means to have a Savior who prays for me. And furthermore, I understand the importance of the command to strengthen your brethren. Because I think this is the consistent theme that we see throughout Scripture. Paul echoes this when he says, comfort one another with the same comfort you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. So why am I telling you this as caregivers? Well, I will tell you why I'm telling you this. Because let me ask you something. Some of you, do you know what it feels like to be sifted right now? Yeah, you do. You wouldn't be listening to this program if you didn't. Some of you are so discouraged right now and weeping bitter tears. And I get that. More importantly, you have a Savior who gets that, who sees this. It says it right there. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, that's not confessing sins as far as repenting. That's confessing what we believe, that our statement of faith. Let us hold fast to this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. It's right there in the text. Right there in the text. That he knows this, he sees this, he advocates for you, prays for you. And when you come through this, and you will, strengthen your brethren. This is our responsibility. This is how we do this. When I took martial arts, and I want to get back into this, I am a second degree black belt. I should be a fourth degree right now, but I don't have anybody to train with out here in Montana for the art that I do. It's hard to do Hapkido on a cow, or a horse. But when I did train, one of the principles I learned was as we progressed in our studies and became more proficient in our art, we were then held into account for how we trained beginners. And the more we spent time with beginners, the better we became as higher degree belts. So by the time I got to my red belt and then eventually my black belt, my grade, my evaluation was on how well I trained others. My instructors looked at me with a very critical eye because I was responsible for making sure that others learned it properly and were safe while they did it. Because sometimes when you come in as a new student, you're just all over the map. You're trying real hard. You're straining and everything else. And you can hurt yourself or others if you're not disciplined. And it's the instructor's job to make sure that that new student settles down, breathes properly, learns balance, learns the fundamentals. That principle I see throughout all of human history is that you learn by teaching. You grow by instructing. You become more proficient as you give it out. And Scripture affirms this. Comfort one another with the same comfort. Strengthen your brethren. This is what Jesus is saying to Peter. You're going to go through some tough stuff, but I've got you. Now, when you come through this, strengthen your brethren. I see ample evidence in Scripture where that commandment to Peter has implications to all of us. As you go through what you're going through, and I know it's hard, I do know this, you have a great high priest who's praying for you. And when you come through this, strengthen your brethren. That is the purpose of this program. That is the purpose of my writings. That is why I do what I do. I have been given much. It is my responsibility and great privilege to extend it. And that is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Hopeforthecaregiver.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
People have value, but just where does it come from?
God created us in His image. as male and female.
But the enemy is deceiving so many.
We like to shake our fist at God and say, why did you make me this way? I don't like it. I'm going to define who I am for myself.
We must stand on God's truth.
Can we change God's words? Can we change the tense? It's just the tense of a verb. Come on. To be able to get along with everybody, we don't have the luxury to edit what God has said.
In His Image is a life-changing film that takes you through Scripture and shares powerful testimonies to destroy Satan's attempts to pervert God's perfect design.
There's only one last major holdout in society to shed light on what the truth is, and that is the church.
Watch it again or for the first time. Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net.
Parents often ask me, Mark, what can I do to improve my relationship with my teen? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I want to give you three practical, concrete things you can do this week to improve your relationship with your son or daughter. Number one, try thinking of yourself as a student of your teen. Find out his opinions, feelings, and thoughts on subjects. Number two, consider sharing something personal about yourself. It's okay to let your child know that you are human and imperfect. Number three, don't judge your teen's comments. Maybe they're immature or dumb or flat out wrong, but judgment is going to make him retreat back into his shell. So there you have it. Three things you can do this week to help improve your relationship with your teen. Why not give them a try?
Sign up for Mark Gregston's weekly newsletter article or other free resources at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Glad to have you with us. Thank you so much for being a part of this program. I want to give a special shout out to a listener in Richmond, Virginia. His name is Wayne. Wayne listens on 88.1 WRIH, and he sent me a beautiful note recently that talked about how this program meant so much to him as he cared for his mother. She is now with the Lord, but Wayne said in his note that he's still listening. And that means so much to me, Wayne. Let me tell you why. Because I believe this is one of the few times you'll hear me on this program give my opinion, because I don't have experience in this area. Okay? This is the one thing I, as a caregiver, I do not have experience with. This is my opinion, but I believe that I can back this up with a strong understanding of the journey and from a lot of folks I've talked with that caregiving challenges do not stop at the cemetery. Now, I don't know that for 100% sure, because I haven't been there. But from everything I've seen, the caregivers who I've talked to, and from what I know about Scripture, what I know about human nature, the trauma and the stress impact of being a caregiver extends long beyond the graveyard. And I think it's important for us to respect that trauma. And Wayne, so I appreciate your note, and I'm really grateful that you're listening to the audience. I always like to know who's listening, because sometimes, you know, you wonder, you put this out there, you're looking at a wall in your studio, or, you know, you're not seeing faces. And so, Wayne, it's a pleasure to meet you and to know that you're in the audience, and thank you for writing me. And if you want to write me and tell me what this program means to you, or ask any questions you want, you can go out to my new website with it. It takes you to everything, whether it's through Standing with Hope or the Prosthetic Limb Outreach, for Hope for the Caregiver, the program, whatever you want to go to, it's all there at peterrosenberger.com. peterrosenberger.com, and there's a mechanism there for you to share your story. And I keep all the notes that people send me. I have a drawer in my filing cabinet, where I keep all these notes, and I really do appreciate them very much. I can't always respond back as fast as I'd like. You know, I am a full-time caregiver, but I do the best I can. And please know that you're why I do this. Wayne, you're why I do this. I understand this journey, and I understand the isolation that comes with being a caregiver, emotionally and physically. And this program is designed to go into that isolation, to let you know as you do the things you're doing that you're not alone. And more importantly, that the gospel goes into those situations with you as you carry the challenges and difficulties and the stress and the heartache of being a caregiver. You all know by now, as you've listened to this program, this is very personal to me. There's almost an unending amount of programs that you can listen to, from politics to sports to preaching to whatever, that bring people with far greater insights into the geopolitical things going on in this world, into scripture and everything else. And I confess, it's a bit daunting to have a radio program up next to a lot of those people. But I remain convinced that this program is so necessary for fellow caregivers, that the strain that's on our hearts needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed with clarity. And the fact that you all give me an hour of your time every week is deeply meaningful to me. And I appreciate all the notes. I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the emails, the, you know, all the above. I love getting to do what I do. And I never take it for granted. I'm very grateful for American Family Radio, for the Truth Network, for all of our affiliates who see value in reaching the family caregiver. There's a large Christian ministry that a friend of mine called, very high-profile individual called. I'll be very vague here intentionally, okay, because I don't want to cause any problems. You all would know everybody involved. And they said, you need to have Peter Rosenberger on your program. And he talks to family caregivers. And this is a very large group. And they said, no, that's a niche market. And we really don't do that. That's just a niche market. And I thought, at first I was a bit offended. And then I kind of raised an eyebrow and I was like, give it time. You'll find out that it's not a niche market. You'll find out eventually when you are caring for someone that you really do need to have someone who can address the heart issues of a family caregiver. So they'll eventually figure it out. I've noticed, though, that the world, secular media, seems more apt to address this issue than a lot of Christian media. Isn't that rather sad? Isn't that a rather sad commentary on our Christian media? But there you have it. And that's why I'm so grateful that American Family Radio took the lead on this. They took a chance on me when, you know, people are looking at this. What are you talking about? What caregivers, caregiving, what nursing homes, what do you know? And they said, no, we see this as a real valuable ministry opportunity and a way to further the mandate that Jesus gave us to go and preach the gospel and make disciples. That's our mandate. And they saw this as very important. And here we are after all these years. I've launched this program on American Family Radio in 2018. So we're getting ready to start our seventh year on the air of bringing this message to family caregivers. Now you think about that for a minute, because I remember people saying, well, we don't see this as being a viable show. This is not a program. I mean, how are you going to fill up time talking about this issue? We've had now over 250,000 downloads on our podcast, over 300 episodes on American Family Radio alone. And we're just getting started. The issues are not going away. It is not a niche market. It's not a fringe market. Over 1/5 of the population of this country is dealing with this. Not to mention globally, we have people that have downloaded this program in over 100 countries. I mean, I look at the country map of where people have listened in everywhere, places that I thought, this is crazy. And I get notes from people, literally, in all parts of the world. We have regular listeners in Australia. We have regular listeners in the Middle East. We have regular listeners in Eastern Europe. In Russia, I go figure. I never dreamed of the kind of impact that this program would have. I knew the need. And I knew the stress, and I knew the heartache, and I knew the strain. And I've done the best I can to speak to that with the understandings that I have. And to, more importantly, point this audience to Christ. And when I get a note like this from Wayne and from others, it means more than I could articulate. I'm pretty good with words, but I'm not that good because I can't express the gratitude as well as I'd like to say thank you, Wayne. Thank you to all of you all for listening, and thank you to American Family Radio. And by the way, this is just unscripted. Nothing I do is scripted. I mean, are you kidding me? That is a running joke with anybody who's done anything with me. Don't ever try to script him. Because it's not going to happen. I've been on things where they tried to say, read this and do this. And the director looked at the producer and he said, look, we can't script him. And I don't care, because that's, you know, I don't have show notes. I don't have anything like this. I just turn the microphone on and start going because I understand this audience. I know fellow caregivers, and I speak fluent caregiver. So I just kind of, like I said, turn the mic on and go. Much to the chagrin sometimes of my wonderful producer, Pat. But I want to take a moment here to encourage you to do something. I'd like for you to go out to AFR.net or wherever you listen to this program and support that station, support that network. Go out there, even if it's just $5, okay? If you are benefiting from what we're doing here, then give back as a way of saying thank you. Go out and support this network. Go out and support whatever station you're listening to. Let them know that you see value in this. It doesn't have to be a large gift, but it does need to be something. We have a responsibility to do something. We can't just be consumers all the time. We have a responsibility. I have several ministries that I support, that Gracie and I support, where I get so much teaching from and so much encouragement and strength from. And I just set it up on autopay to do that. It's not very much. It seems pretty meager next to the kind of gifts that a lot of people can do. But they are blessing me, and I think it's part of my journey towards healthiness to be able to participate at whatever level, to say thank you for them doing this. I mean, American Family did not need to put me on the air. They got plenty of people lined up to have a program on this network, the Truth Network. They didn't need to do this. They were all sitting around in a boardroom saying, boy, if we could just find some guy to do a radio program for caregivers. No, that's not what it was. But they saw value. And if you see value, I encourage you to say thank you to them, because they work tirelessly. I've had an opportunity to interact with a lot of the folks there in Tupelo at American Family, and they have worked tirelessly to run a tight, tight, focused organization. And I see the hits these people take for the stance they take for the gospel. You know, there's not a day goes by that they're not getting some kind of hate mail or, you know, whatever from people that they stir up hornet's nest. How many of you all know that when you speak truth, particularly in this culture, you're going to get pushback? And yet this is what you have. My parents listen all the time to this network. It's been such a blessing to them. They listen on their Alexa devices, and it's such a blessing to them. Mom can't see very well, and so it's great for her to be able to just listen to great teaching and sermons and so forth. The access we have to amazing teaching and preaching and things that encourage us and strengthen us in today's culture is amazing. Let's get behind it. Thank you for your indulgence on this. There's more to go. Don't go away. This is Peter Rosenberger, peterrosenberger.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
With today's Dr. Dobson Minute, here's Dr. James Dobson.
When the economy is unstable and jobs are in jeopardy, it's natural to be more concerned than ever about getting ahead. It's also very easy to fall prey to what author Paul Lewis calls the around-the-corner syndrome. The scenario goes like this. If you just put in extra hours for the next 6 months, the result will be a nice raise or a big commission or a successful new business that'll practically run itself. Well, it sounds good in theory. In practice, though, we know what's really waiting around the corner. Another corner, more hard work, a bigger project, and another deadline. Before we commit to something that's just around the corner, we need to ask ourselves some important questions. Is it worth missing out on this phase of your child's life? Is it worth risking the stability of your marriage? To jam it in on top of everything else is usually a big mistake.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.
All right, welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Glad to have you with us. Hope for the Caregiver is that conviction that we as caregivers can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life, even while serving as a family caregiver. I want to swerve just a hair into something that's rather practical. All right, don't tell anybody, but we're going to get practical for just a moment. No, this is a funny story. My father-in-law will probably be upset with me if I told this, so y'all don't tell anybody what I'm about to tell you, okay? Let's just keep this kind of quiet amongst us. But years ago when he purchased this place out here in Montana, way back in the 80s, there was nobody anywhere close. The nearest neighbor was well over a mile away. There was no electricity, nothing. He had to have everything done, started from scratch out here, well, septic, the whole thing. He's kind of a pioneer type guy anyway. And he was stringing some barbed wire. Well, several trips he came out here with a truck, and eventually brought some machinery and so forth from their home in Florida. But for whatever reason, one summer they drove across country in a Cadillac that he had purchased. It was one of those long ones, you know, the big stretch ones, not a limousine, but pretty long, you know. And he always loved that car. He said it was just a great riding car. And it was. I mean, you'd sit on the road and it was very comfortable. But he brought this out here. Well, we're 10 miles from the paved road. And it's not, the dirt road that we're on is not exactly a, you know, a nice smooth avenue. And that car was certainly out of place up here. But nevertheless, he drove across country in it. And there was a strand of barbed wire or a section of barbed wire fence that he needed to put up. And he didn't have a fence stretcher with him at the time. I don't know what happened or whatever. Anyway, but just out of expediency, he decided to hook up some of his barbed wire to the bumper of this Cadillac and stretch it that way. And it worked. I mean, he was able to make it work. And it's, you'd have to know Gracie's dad to understand how fabulous a story this is. But if you can imagine being way out here in the Rockies, 10 miles from a paved road, stringing barbed wire with a Cadillac. And it was a strange sight, and I'm sure there were a lot of ranchers, if they had seen it, would have scratched their heads a little bit, but he pulled it off. Well, why am I telling you this? Well, a lot of times as caregivers, we will do what is necessary and expedient because we can. But it doesn't mean that we should. And it doesn't mean that that's something that is a good idea, certainly for the long haul. And I think a problem that we get into as caregivers is that we will just shoulder it on ourselves, and we are the wrong tool for the job. Now, it doesn't mean we can't get it done. It doesn't mean that fence won't last. I mean, that fence that he strung, still out here, still going strong, 35, 40 years later. And that's great. But it still doesn't mean it was the right tool for the job. And he knows that. I mean, that he's got several fence stretchers out here, and you know, we got to go work on some fencing this week. And he knows that, but out of expediency, that's what he did. Now, my question to you is, as a caregiver, how much are you doing out of expediency that's using the wrong tool for the wrong job? Doesn't mean that you can get away with delegating it out right now. Doesn't mean that there's anybody else to help you. Doesn't mean that you have the right tool. But if you're aware of it, can you switch gears and start thinking, okay, this is something I maybe need to step away from? And it may take a bit of planning to do that. It may take a little bit of work. I get that. But I'd like for us as caregivers to get out of the mentality of just putting everything on us and not being the best steward of us. Because that's what it comes down to. That Cadillac, I promise you, when it came off the assembly line, there was probably no one involved in the whole process of building that vehicle. The plush seats, all the power stuff that it had. I mean, it was a beautiful car. And nobody ever dreamed that it would be stretching barbed wire out in Montana somewhere. Doesn't mean it couldn't. Just none of the design team, all the engineers, everybody that was involved in building that vehicle never would say, oh yeah, that's what, you know. And quite frankly, most automobiles are not designed for that. You can make do with it. And some beat up old truck or something, that's fine. But I still don't even recommend doing it that way. There's a reason they built fence stretchers. Okay? So what about you? Just because you can do something, is that the best stewardship of you? Is this working? I could do a lot of things. I'm pretty good at what I do. I've learned over the years to do quite a few things. But I'm also learning to say no to some things and to delegate it or offload it, whether it's to other human beings that I can enlist as volunteers or pay them if I have the money to do so, or technology. Is it the right tool for the job? How many times have you heard this? There's a video I saw somewhere that went kind of viral that showed this young millennial. And he was out with a fence pounder. Now, do you know what a fence pounder is? That's what I call it. It's a long metal tube, very heavy, with handles on either side. And what you do is you put it over the metal stake of your fence post, and you just pound it down into the ground. And that's how you put them up. It's pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Well, this poor young millennial, or he actually maybe younger than that, he was just 17, 18 years old, maybe, I don't know. And he was hammering a stake with the fence pounder. He was holding it, hammering it down. And bless his heart, he was earnest, and he was sincere about it, but it was not the most effective way of doing business. I felt sorry for him. By the way, thank you for getting that hum out. I don't know what was going on with that, but I felt sorry for the boy. And maybe he learned, maybe some kind soul explained to him that there's a better way to do it than the way he was doing it. But the lesson is not lost, that for many of us, we are doing the best we can with something that is not the best fit for it. And oftentimes, we bear the brunt of this as caregivers. I'm a big fan of build a better mousetrap. Can we do this more efficiently? Can we do this better? Or are we just doing workarounds all the time and we're absorbing it? Is there a smarter way to do this? And I would suggest to you that there is. But it's not going to happen easily. And sometimes you have to ask someone. And that means humbling yourself. Am I doing this well? Am I doing this right? Is there a better way? Is there somebody better that can do this? How many of you all are really good at doing your taxes, for example? I mean, are just whizzes when it comes to these sort of things. Show of hands. Anybody? Some of you are. And there's software out there that really helps. But I would suggest that most of us are not. And I determined a long time ago that my life was made easier by getting an accountant, the right person for the job. I could do it. There's a lot of things that I can do. I've learned out here in Montana. One of the things you learn in Montana is you got to learn how to do stuff for yourself because help is a long ways away. And there are things that I've just learned to do. And I'm grateful for it and I'm better for it. But there's some things that involve so much time and the learning curve is so steep. And I had to ask myself, is this the best use of me? Is this the best use of me? Now, I may not be able to do anything about it, but I can at least ask the question and unleash the power of my mind to come up with a creative answer. And that's something I'd like for you all to consider. Okay, it's just a practical thing. But look at the everyday task you're doing. Is this the best use of you? Okay. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And doesn't mean it won't have long-term implications. For a season, all of us could stand on our heads for, you know, a couple of months. We could do all kinds of things and we'll make do. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if this becomes a lifestyle, if you saw my father-in-law, for example, stringing this entire property with a Cadillac, you know, somebody's going to say something, you know. For this little stretch, he was on a flat piece of land. It was right here by the road. It worked out. But this is pretty hilly country up here. A lot of rocks out there. So if he's taking a Cadillac up a dirt road or up no road out in the field doing it, there's going to be some ranchers right here that'll take their hat off and scratch their head a little bit and wonder what's going on with that. And if that young man had tried to string a whole line of fencing by hammering in every one of those posts with that pounder, eventually he's either going to figure it out or somebody's going to say something to him and say, son, there's a better way. What about us as caregivers? Is there a better way? Is there a better method? Is there a better opportunity for you to disassociate from something that you have just done, but it's wearing you down? Is there somebody else in your life that could do it better that may be willing to help you or teach you a better way? It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stop doing it. It just means that maybe you're not pounding a fence post in with a pounder and you get a better tool for the job or learn how to use the tools you have better. Most of us have phones and computers that are far more sophisticated than anything NASA went to the moon with. Are we using them to our advantage? Is there somebody who can give us a tutorial on it? Hey, here's a tip. Here's something that you might not know you can do. The other day I set up lights in our bedroom that are automated that I can turn on with Alexa, and Gracie can turn them on voice command so she doesn't have to twist her back to turn over and grab a light. It's just easier on her back. You know, it's a smart way of doing business. What about you? Don't be afraid to do a little self-examination of what's going on in your life to see if you can't find a better way to do it. A little practicality for caregivers on this segment. This is Peter Roseberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
There was a time when study of the ancient world was standard in every Western education. But any parent or grandparent knows that's no longer the case. Our schools barely teach American history, let alone the history of ancient empires like Babylon, Greece, or Rome. But this knowledge is valuable to understand Bible prophecy. For example, Daniel prophesied about the rise and fall of ancient kingdoms. Study of the historical timeline would reveal the accuracy of these predictions and confirm God's control over all kings and kingdoms. Christians must commit themselves to studying history in order to understand Bible prophecy. After all, God's word was given to us so that we might know what God wants us to know about Him, His interaction with our fallen world, and His plan for mankind. So start learning more today.
To hear more hope for the future from God's Word to those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ, and to understand God's prophetic warning to those who don't yet know Him, visit our website at ChristInProphecy.org.
That's one of my all-time favorite songs. I just love that song from Gary Chapman, who's a friend of this program, and he and I have been friends for a long time. And I remember the first time I heard that song, where I was sitting, and I just love that song. Jesus is my treasure. Whatever you stream your music on, Spotify, Amazon, whatever, add Gary to the playlist. He's got a massive library of music that he's a spectacular songwriter. And he's written a song for Gracie that I'm going to get her to record. I promise you that. I promised Gary that. I got to get Gracie up. Got to get her back on her feet and her feet back on her. And we're working on that. She's had a pretty rough couple of years, and she wants to start singing again, and she's got a song waiting for her that Gary wrote for her. And when you hear it, you're going to flip. So anyway, and he had a Father's Day story about his dad that we shared here a couple of years ago that was just phenomenal. And you can go out to our podcast and take a look at it. Go to peterrosenberger.com. At the podcast, you just do a search for Gary Chapman, and you'll find that episode. I may feature it on the site, but anyway, it just a great story. Speaking of Father's Day, I want to tell you something here. We close up. We're coming up to Father's Day shortly. I'm going to be heading down to South Carolina to spend some time with my dad. One of the things I've noticed about my father, and he has been struggling with Parkinson's for the last several years, and he is modeling what I have witnessed in so many as they get older, the memory fails, the cognitive things maybe struggle a little bit to process or remember things, and yet he'll remember the hymns and prayers and scriptures. You can start a scripture, he'll finish it. You can start play a hymn, he'll sing it. And the Lord's Prayer, I've seen this over and over and over with people when I've played as they get older, and they complain about their memory, but yet if I'll prompt them with a scripture, they'll know that scripture. I've seen it with my father-in-law out here, and he's 88, and he's pretty spry at 88. He gets out on the tractor and everything else. Yesterday, he was out digging a ditch with the backhoe. So, but he complains sometimes, oh, my memory's not what it was. But if I start a scripture or something, it's right there, because he has filled his mind with scripture. My father has done the same thing. When you fill your mind with scripture, well, you've heard me say this on the program. What's the only thing that scripture says is eternal? His word. That's it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain. So you're filling your mind with the one thing that cannot be diminished, which is the word of God. The one thing, according to scripture. And I think that is a very wise path for us to pursue. Thy word have I hid my heart, that I may not sin against thee. And I've been in nursing homes and at hospice bedsides and so forth. I've got a wonderful picture of Gracie with a dear friend of ours, and she's just singing hymns to him in hospice. And it was just very meaningful to watch him sing along with her from a hospice bed, even though his mind was certainly struggling, but his spirit wasn't. And I've seen this over and over and over. If you fill your mind with the word of God, it will never return void. Never. That's what scripture says. And as I look at what's going on, and I leave you with this, and you do with it what you want. I really try very hard not to swerve into politics on this program, because there are plenty of people that offer commentary and punditry on that. I don't know that I bring anything special to the table. But when it comes to caregiver issues, I do bring something different to the table. And I've watched this thing unfold with what's going on with Biden. And I got to tell you, people say, you know, why is he lying so much? He just lies. Like he's talked about saying when he took office, that, you know, 9%. Unemployment, which was not true. I mean, you know, he just keeps doubling down on it and saying things. And it's become almost a caricature and a joke now, even though it's no joke. It's rather tragic to see what's happening. It's one thing to have a misstep and to stretch the truth or exaggerate. That's what politicians do from time, you know, eternity past kind of thing. That's what they do. This is not. This is fabrication of something that's not even real. I have no idea if his uncle was truly eaten by cannibals. The people in New Guinea don't seem to think so. But, you know, who knows? But you watch it keep going. But we have the benefit of looking back over his long career in politics, and lying is not something that is new to him. I mean, he dropped out of the presidential race in the 80s. I don't know how many of you all know this or remember this, because of plagiarism. I don't know that he's had a lot of new thoughts for a long time. Now, this, you don't have to be Republican, Trump supporter, Democrat, anything. It's just human beings as caregivers. When you start seeing this kind of behavior, what does that tell you? And it tells me that this is a man who was so entrenched in saying whatever needed to say for that moment, or lying whatever he needed to lie about in order to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, that the truth is so far gone, he doesn't have anything to fall back on. He can mumble through a script, but even then, everybody's holding their breath, or his staff is, wondering, you know, is he going to go off the rails? Are we going to have another cannibal incident? Or, you know, who knows with him? But I look at the stark contrast of those who fill their minds with the Word of God so that in their later years, when their minds are weaker, they're struggling, the cognitive process is weaker, there is still that anchoring of the Lord's Prayer. Hymns. I was playing the piano for my father and listening to him sing, "Lead On, O King Eternal." It's one of his favorite hymns. And he's 89 years old and belts it out. He knows it. He's filled his life with it. So when the things of our body, the temporal, start to break down, what's left? And if all you've done is live a life of political expediency and making up stuff on the spot and lying and doing whatever it is, that's all you're going to have left at the end of your life as well. It's all that's going to be left. It's just the fabrications, the alternate reality that you've constructed for yourself. But if you've taken the time to memorize Scripture, thy word have I, finish it with me, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not what? Sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we just go through Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. To me, and again, I don't like to swerve into my opinion very much, but based on the experience I've seen and what I've read and understand, the most prudent path we can do is to fill our minds right now, while we have that ability, with the things of God, with the Scriptures, with the hymns. Fill our minds with this so that down the road, should we live to be at this age where we see, you know, grandparents and even political leaders, that what will come out of our mouth will not be fabricated realities and more lies, but it'll be the things of God. As a pianist, I never cease to be amazed and quite frankly blessed to watch older people who do not have all of their cognitive functions sing along with me. I've got a couple friend of mine, and he's taking care of her with Alzheimer's. And music, the hymns were just a staple in her life. It's part of her DNA. And even in the distress of Alzheimer's, those hymns settled her down, and you could see her lips moving with the text of those things. It's in there somewhere. Now, her brain may not be able to process it all out, but it's in there. You could see it. You could see it on her face. If all you filled your life up with is your own hedonistic pursuits of power and pleasure and whatever works for you and deceit and lies, guess what's going to be left at the end of your life? Deceit, lies, a fabricated reality. There's nothing else to draw on. And all I can tell you is, watch the news every day. It's a teachable moment. Not to argue about politics, okay? If you want to argue about politics, you go right ahead. But as a caregiver, I am watching what's unfolding. And I'm watching someone who has a lengthy body of work in the public eye that we can go back and look at fabrications and lies and so forth, when you could see this. And now here at the end, it's really kind of pitiful. It's also pitiful to watch people enable that and prop that up just for their own sense of power. But the teachable moment is for us, you and me. Let's fill our minds with things that will endure, so that if we get to that point where our mind is slipping and so forth, that we've got a foundation of truth that our spirit can erupt with, of songs, hymns, scriptures, and things that will last for all eternity. As Gary sang at the beginning of this show, there's a treasure. They say that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure's in the Word of God, that's where life is. And that is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, hopeforthecaregiver.com. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.